Salt community, welcome to the Monochrome Podcast. We are so excited that you're joining us today. If you're joining us for the first time, your first listen, we are here for those who make Sunday happen. Whether you are a graphic designer, a videographer, editor, the guy behind the soundboard, that volunteer running that pro presenter mouse, we know you got to click fast when the pastor switches slides. But we are here for you. We're tackling problems that our creatives and techs are facing in their local church, and we're having fun doing it. I'm Caitlin Johnson, SALT Director, here today with JT, our marketing manager.
What is up?
And Keith, our manager of content and learning.
Hello.
Sorry. How are you guys doing today? Keith is a born-again Australian. Is that a thing?
Oh, yeah.
Now, I was actually trying to do the impersonation of those two, like silly pirates in Pirates of the Caribbean.
Oh, hello, yeah.
Oh, yeah, the one with the wooden eye.
Yeah. Hello, yeah. Pulpit.
But I digress. Funny.
Keith is actually our movie expert on the team and will always be movie quoting, it seems. Yes. But how are we doing today, guys? How are you feeling?
I am good. I am vibing, enjoying recording podcasts. Very excited about this one. I think there's some great info and discussion that we're going to go over. So yeah, just hanging out, having a good time.
Definitely. We are ending today's podcast, as everyone typically knows, if they've listened to us before, with a fun creative challenge. We've got an interview today with Brian Taylor, and then a listening now segment where we're talking about what is happening in our headphones and what you should be also listening to. But we're kicking today off with SALT news. You know, this is where we kind of like to start some of our episodes. What is going on in the world that we need to be talking about, JT?
So this one is interesting because it's very much a shift from kind of the direction everything's been moving the past few years. Bridgetown Church in Portland, Oregon, which is funny, actually, the founder, John Mark Comer, of that church also wrote the book we talked about a couple episodes ago of The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. But they are canceling their live stream services. They put out a video on this last week or the week before, and I'll link to it's from Church Tech Today, so I'll link the article in the show notes. But I thought it was really interesting, their explanation for why they're doing it and kind of that shift that they're making. I think I'm hearing too, there are some other churches who are making the same change, some big, some small.
Yeah.
So I'm curious to see if this is going to become a trend.
Yeah, I have heard of a church here in Franklin, in Tennessee, that has also done it, like completely canceled all online church, no virtual streaming of their services. They are like an in-person church only.
Yeah, what I was going to ask is, what is their reasoning?
Yeah, so they're still going to post the sermons. So sermons will still be posted and available, but they're not live streaming them, and they're not live streaming the worship. And their reasoning for it is... And I love too, because it kind of breaks down. I don't know who the guy is that talks about it. Maybe it's a lead pastor, but he kind of breaks down different audiences that this could affect, which is like people who, you know, are traveling and can't come to church, or maybe people who are across the country and doing kind of like a home church and using the live stream to do that, or people who are just listening from different locations. And he addresses all of those. But really, I think the crux of it is they're like, we're called to live in community, locally, in person. And he's like, he kind of talks about, you know, the reason they're not doing this live stream anymore is they want people to get plugged in, either in Bridgetown, if they're in Portland, Oregon, and they've just not been coming in person, or if they're somewhere else, to find a church, find a community, or start one and get plugged in locally. And so obviously he's got more to say with that, but that's kind of the heart behind it. And so I think that's a very noble and like, good thing. I think especially too, like when you think of online church, your mind goes straight to live church. And I think like we've talked to Beth Burns about this, at conference, but something they are very, very passionate and like proactive about is getting their online people plugged into local churches. And so I think they do that really well, but a lot of churches just don't have the resources to do that.
Sure.
You know, they don't have the ability to plug people in who are watching the live stream. And a lot of churches have barely have enough resources to run a live stream.
Yeah.
And so I think this is a trend we will see start to catch on really quickly.
That last point that you made is to me an interesting one about resource allocation. Because we all know that the church can be a little bit of kind of monkey see, monkey do. We see one church doing something that works for them, and we assume copy and paste that'll work here too. And, you know, each church's audiences, each church's people are not identical to the others. And so I think that if it's stretching a church's budget, if they're not able to do it and do it well, and it's creating more headaches and it's a distraction to the production team, the media team on a Sunday to not be able to give all their focus and effort to the people that showed up that day to worship, then it's probably just more trouble than it's worth. And, and maybe something to really consider is I do really like that the pastor still wants to put his sermons out, because I think that at the end of the day, getting the word of God out in as many possible ways as possible is a great, awesome blessing of God that these mediums exist. And so let's take full advantage of them, you know? And,
well, I would say I'm almost on the opposite spectrum of that, because number one, yes, total noble pursuit. I love the heart and the reason why that they're choosing to stop virtual church and like live streaming church. I'll put it that way. At the same time, though, it's such a struggle for me because I live a life where I attend church virtually a lot. Full transparency, I am weird. I have a phobia about driving and a lot of traffic. And yet I live in downtown Nashville. So I don't drive.
The
and so for me,
for that.
Well, that in Atlanta, it seems like. But if I can't walk to church, then I am probably not going to church, which means I attend virtually often because my husband travels for work. And so if we're not going together and he's driving, then I'm usually not going to church, or I'm only going to a church I can walk to. And it's hard when you want to find a church that you can find your people in and speaks to you. But then if they, you know, aren't in walking distance, I'm attending virtually. So if churches start cutting that off completely, like I know then I lose an option of some Sunday services I can go to. And I think it goes without saying there's a lot of people in different scenarios that do attend church virtually. Yeah. So I hope it doesn't become a trend after COVID now to like stop having live streaming church.
Yeah. If you look at, so I pulled up a Pew Research article, which I'll also tag give a link to in the show notes, but the overwhelming majority of reasoning why people attend a church online for different, you know, different denominations and different, you know, races and things like that, the overwhelming majority is because it's convenient and it allows me to watch churches that are far away from where I live. And then the much smaller reasonings are because I have a disability and I can't attend in person, or because my church only meets online. And so I think it's interesting that a lot of people are just attending online because they like the church and they don't live anywhere near it, and it's not necessarily their local body. So yeah, I don't know. I think there's a lot to be said about it, because like you said, Keith, you know, having that online presence and having the word out there, and I think having a place to worship and to have that experience is equally as important as hearing the word. And so removing that, I don't know. I don't know what effect that's going to have on the big, you know, the big C church globally and across the country.
Well, it's interesting.
I think too, there are some advantages of not doing it anymore, like the resource allocation side of things. Also, like having licensing for putting worship music online is expensive. And also
point.
Can be kind of complicated for people to figure out what licenses they need. And, you know, if you play Spotify before, you know, your church service. And so, you know, for a lot of churches, it may be like, finally, this is so much easier than us having to do this. And so I don't know. I think we'll see it. I think you'll see some churches drop it and some people keep it. And there's merits, I think, to both. And maybe you just need to sort it out for what works best for what you have available to you. We have three rules of church media teams that we want to tell you about. Number one, never ever judge each other's coffee choices.
Number two, never ever let friends use bad church media. So we would be pretty bad friends if we didn't tell you about your best option for finding really good church media, and that is SALT's presenting partner, Shift Worship. Shift Worship has the resources you need to create visually stunning worship experiences every week, from videos to motion graphics, stills, title slides, and even social graphics.
Wait, y'all forgot to mention the secret third rule. They never ever pay for the first month of media. Seriously, you'll get your first 30 days of new media from Shift Worship completely free when you go to the link in our show notes. Thanks, Shift Worship.
All right, let's move into the noise we are hearing in our headphones. What are we listening to now? And I am so excited to talk about this segment today because I have spent the last week working on our SALT 2024 playlist. And some of you are like, what is that? So at conference, we always have a very fun, very upbeat C for Church rated playlist that we play at registration because we want it to be a party when you come see us in the fall at SALT 2024 conference. So I have been working on crafting that playlist. And as I've been working on that, I was just reminded by a number of people my age, you know, millennials and older Gen Z, a lot of our generation, like, we don't listen to Christian music anymore. And I think it's because there is a big staple that Christian made products are just low quality and not very, I guess you could say, artistic or well done. And I truly believe, and we've had so many conversations about this as a team, but I believe that's changing.
Mm-hmm. I 100% agree.
You guys in that boat? Yeah. I think it's changing. I think The Chosen
anyone
is a
on
TV
Instagram
show.
Is seeing that change for sure.
Too. Oh, yes.
I have
it's
a very strong
on
take
TV.
On this.
Oh, okay.
I think
all right.
that the secular arts are diminishing more and more because what they have done is concentrate on messaging and less on the artistic, creative side of things, where the church for years only concentrated on the messaging. And we're just dabbling in the arts. And now we're giving the space for so many creatives to really kind of utilize their gifts and everything in the church.
Yeah.
And we're starting to concentrate on the art as much as we are on the message. And it allows the Christian entertainment, music, TV show, movie, whatever it is, to really like outshine, in my personal opinion, a lot of what the secular kind of economy is creating.
I think that along with we are able as individuals to put more out ourselves now to the internet. You know, technology has allowed us to self-publish books and music to Spotify and all these things that it allows us to get our creative art out there. And because of that, I know just having these conversations with people, I was like, I need to do better at finding that quality Christian music in my life because I did step away from it for a very long time. And so I just want to invite everyone listening today to find this podcast or this playlist. We've got it on Spotify right now. It's just called SALT 2024. But man, we are finding upbeat, what we would consider quality and good Christian music to help bring our generation back to listening to Christian tunes. Now, you'll definitely recognize some names out there. Blessings Offer, Crowder, Lauren Daigle, Brandon Lake, Lecrae. You know, those are some big names that you'll probably recognize that are on that list. But I got some throwbacks in there too, because let's admit it, the 90s and early 2000s had some just chef's kiss music. But we got some new
jars
artists that maybe you haven't heard of. Jars of Clay. But I've got some Anthony Brown, Limo Blaze, Johnny Swim, which we talked about in one of our episodes, Josiah Queen, Cochran & Co., Riley Clemens, Corin Hawthorne, Taya, you know, Apollo Limited, so many more. That's a huge list, but I know JT knows Taya. She's one of his favorites. She was a new name for me when I actually came to work at SALT 2 years ago.
No way.
I got introduced to her. Yes, I didn't know who she was.
Welcome to knowing Jesus.
That's right. That's awesome. I've put this music through the ringer. I went for a over 3 mile run and I said, if this music does not motivate me to keep running, I am turning it off. And back in the day, I could not find Christian music to do that. But this playlist, man, I kept running. And I could have gone even a little further after that 3.5 mile, but I cut it off. So this is a running playlist, filtered, approved, whatever you want to call it, list of music.
Yeah,
so check it out on Spotify, SALT 2024.
So we had a great conversation with one of our speakers last year, Brian Taylor, who is the pastor of worship and creative arts at Covenant Church in Dallas, Texas. And he spoke with JT about embracing both hearts and hands to contribute our creative gifts to build up the body of Christ. So take a listen.
What's up, Soft Community? I'm here with Brian Taylor. He is a creative genius. Brian, can you tell us a little bit about all the different things you do just all the time?
Absolutely. Well, first, I'm glad to be here at Salt. Mm-hmm. It is my first time. I think we talked about that on Instagram mm-hmm. Live a few months back. It's my first time here, and I'm mm-hmm. very excited to be a part of a conference that mm-hmm. I've looked at from afar for the last few years. So yeah, I am VP of Worship and Creative Arts at Slingshot Group. We help churches and nonprofits build remarkable teams. And then my wife and I also have the privilege of serving our church locally in Dallas as worship and creative pastors. Shout out to my Covenant Church fam.
That is awesome. Very cool. So you're here at Salt. You're teaching a workshop session. It's our 10-year anniversary. We're celebrating. Yes. We're super excited. What kind of are you excited about with that workshop and being here at Salt?
Yeah. You know, I have a passion to help leaders lead well. Mm. And one of the things that I know about creative leaders is sometimes we get a bad rap because the talent outpaces leadership. Mm. And even as I was looking through some of the workshops and the keynotes, I mean, there's an embracing of creativity here, right? And I think it's going to be an inspiring time for us together. But I think there's also some really practical equipping that's going to happen in smaller groups and in smaller rooms as we gather around tables and in lobbies and in coffee shops to really spur each other on in excelling in our leadership, not just our creativity. So I'm excited to be a part of that today, primarily talking to some worship leaders about dealing with last minute changes. Mm. And then Dewan Hill and I are talking about the modern worship choir.
That's awesome.
As well.
Very cool. So thinking about modern, mm-hmm. at Salt, we love to think about the future and what's coming.
Yeah.
And so thinking about whether it's worship or leadership or creative, just ingenuity, what is something that you are super excited about that you think the church is going to be embracing and doing in the next coming 5 to 10 years?
Yeah, what I hope to see, I start there. Like, what I hope to see is the church to continue to embrace prayer and covering what we do spiritually. You know, I think, having led primarily in very large, like high production, high level of execution teams, it's really easy to run after how skilled we are. And I always think of Psalm 78, 72, it describes David and says, David shepherded with integrity of heart and skill of hand. I think both of those things matter. And so what I hope to see from the creators in the church is an embracing of both heart and hands to contribute to what we're called to do. I think our calling is significant. It's special. And where we get to sit, you know, as a worship pastor, I think of myself as a tour guide. Right? Between God and the people, I'm not there to, they're not meeting with me. They're not even there to see me, but a good tour guide knows how to draw people's attention to the right thing mm-hmm. at the right time. And I don't see any way we can do that apart from the work of the Holy Spirit in and through us as he infuses life into the creativity, the skill, the giftedness that he's placed in our hands. So I'm very excited about that as I look to the future.
I love that. I think a huge thing that we see a lot at Salt and just in general at churches, whether you're worship or creative or production, is your talent is valued so much more over who mm-hmm. you are as a person in your heart. And so I love you talking about David just shepherding the heart and that coming first, even before the talent and the expertise.
It's a firm foundation for us. If we have that, we can change anything about what things look like on mm-hmm. the outside, as long as we maintain that posture and that heart that puts God at the center, even of our creativity.
So if there's a worship leader out there somewhere who, or a creative leader or something like that, who is maybe wearing a lot of hats, but they have a team and they're not sure, what are my first steps to make sure that I'm shepherding my team in that way? And maybe Slingshot has some resources or something to help them take those steps moving towards, or what would you recommend for them to move towards shepherding their team?
So I get that question a lot in the executive coaching that I do, and we do that with Slingshot for ministry leaders. It's always great to have people in your corner, you know, and on the staffing side, we're helping add leaders, you know, leaders that are in transition or considering transition or assignment. On the coaching side, we get to take the leaders who are planted where they are and help them thrive and grow. And so that question comes up a lot. And here's what I'd say is before you get to your team, you kind of need to start with a self-assessment and take stock of where you are as a leader. Where's your heart in all of this? It's really hard to lead somebody where you're not going. And if you haven't been there, you can't point the way. And so paying attention to that, both pastoral and practical counseling and whatever you need to do to make sure that you're healthy. And then you can lead your team from a healthy place. And it can be overwhelming thinking about adding something else to the rhythm of ministry, right? There's like, I don't know, maybe you have a lot more time than I do in the week. But what I would say is start simple and maximize the moments that you have. Look for the opportunities that you already have in your rhythms where you can pull people aside for just even a few moments, point them to God's word, point them to the practical application, remind them why they're there, why they're doing what they're not just here to play music. Or we're not just here to make sure things go up on the screen at the right time. We're actually helping people engage and encounter the presence of God. So maximize those moments with something as simple as a little team huddle where you pray, share a scripture, encourage everybody, and then you go back to the regular rhythms. Don't try to find more things to add. Make the most of what you have in your hand already.
I love that. That's so good. For people who are trying to get connected with Slingshot Group or what you do, what would be the best way for them to connect with you?
Yeah, so you can find, you can find Slingshot Group at slingshotgroup.org, O-R-G. And if you'd like to connect with me, my Instagram is Instagram at Brian Taylor. On that link there, it has everything, email, LinkedIn, Instagram in the bio.
Cool, awesome. Thank you so much. I appreciate your time. Absolutely. We will see you at SALT 2024. Take care.
Man, that's great. Just listening to Brian Taylor. He has got such a passion, you can tell, for leaders in the church. And it literally, it flows out of him. Like you just it being exudes. In his presence, you are encouraged. I love Brian. He's one of my favorite people. Just so you know, if you haven't yet had a chance to check out our Road to SALT webinar series that's been going on, we're doing four different series throughout the year. Brian Taylor is going to be leading one on worship, and it's entitled Leading a Local Church Worship Ministry Without Losing Your Joy, which I think is a critical topic to speak
on.
No one struggles with this.
no he's one just going to speak to the choir.
Literally, probably speak to the choir. But that said, we would encourage you to join. It's going to be in quarter four this year, so be looking forward to that. But you can go ahead and sign up now. And go ahead and purchase your membership so that you can check that entire series out.
Just go to roadtosalt.com and you can see the series that are coming up, the series that have played that you can get access to. And then, of course, be ready for Brian Taylor.
All right, everybody, it is time for the SALT Creative Challenge. So today, what we want you to do is pretty much do a customer experience journey map. Okay, so this is what companies do in order to figure out what is the experience of people that use their product or are a part of their organization from the moment that they are introduced to them to the moment that they have received and kind of experienced whatever the big payoff is about being a part of that or enjoying that product. For us, we don't look at it as customers because that's not what we do in the church, but instead it would be our church attendee experience journey map. So what I want you to do is to Google what is a customer experience journey map, and you will get examples. Essentially what it is going to be is you are going to draw boxes with arrows pointing and it's in a sequence to show the flow of someone's experience from the moment that they arrived at church on Sunday to the moment that they leave. And then what I want you to do is to figure out where does your ministry plug into that flow. so that you can better understand what is that point in which I'm able to serve the body? When do I need to be at my greatest point of focus and use the greatest amount of my energy for? So here's the deal. This is beneficial for everyone to do, but how much greater for the church to do, to know where it is that we are getting that opportunity that Christ has given us to impact the church. I want to encourage you, go and fill out your church attendee experience journey maps today. And by the way, share them, hashtag Salt Creative Challenge on your socials. We would love to see them.
Nice. Awesome. I know that we have done this as a business practice, and then we tried it as a team practice to see our journeys. And man, we learned a lot. Like, how are we serving the Salt community with these journeys? So I love that challenge. I cannot wait to see you guys post these and share them. And if you're like, oh man, it's embarrassing to post this work, I just want to encourage you. You're encouraging someone else when you post and share these. So please help out these other churches that are listening to the podcast, saying, well, what does that look like for other churches? How can I compare it to our church? What are some ideas we can share? Our creative challenges are all about, I think, sharing and pushing boundaries and pushing all of us to excellence. But we're so glad that you guys joined us. I'm really looking forward to next week's episode 7. JT, Keith, thank you for joining me today.
You're welcome.
I know we'll hear from you both again in the future. But don't forget, every week we're dropping a new episode. We'll see you then.